What if the tools aren't working? What if you're so activated, you're so frustrated, you're unable to communicate in healthy ways with one another? Today, we answer that question.
Hello, all, and welcome to the Relationship Renovation Podcast. I'm Tara Kerwin.
And my name is EJ Kerwin. And today's episode is going to be in response to a comment we received from a YouTube viewer. Mm-hmm. And we had a few episodes ago a three-part series on communication, and specifically communication tools to help you and your partner deal with difficult moments. And the first thing I want to do is I want to read their comment. And it specifically was around our episode that talked about validation, you know, the ability to let your partner know you hear exactly what they are saying, that you're validating their sort of like emotional experience in a moment. So the viewer says, I think the discussions on validation would be more useful if you picked harder examples. Say my partner is borderline gaslighting. Is it really the right answer to just validate their false version? That can't be right. How about a classic like this? The reason I'm being distant is I am still mad at you for staring at the waitress the other night. Validating out of the gate that he was staring at the waitress accepts her false premise. But entering with, I hear that you felt I was staring at the waitress, is not going to be well received in my experience. These are the kind of hard examples worth considering, especially in the early stages when partners are really not listening generously or warmly to each other.
First of all, thank you for that amazing comment. And because of that comment, we have created a two-part series. We love our series. And so part one today is, what if we are too activated to use the skills and to do the work? And part two is, what if validation feels like agreeing with something that's false? That's a big one. We tried to combine them in one, and I was like, there's no way. We've got to do two.
Yeah.
So the listener is right. Communication tools do not work when we are in a survival mode, when our nervous system is dysregulated. So we really want to distinguish a couple who has like a skills deficit in communication versus a deficit in regulating their emotions during activating times.
Yeah. And I think like what's really important here is us giving couples out there who are stuck in really difficult, repetitive dynamics, give them sort of the grace that they're unable to give each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that many couples are really in these moments, in this moment in a restaurant where there's activation around one person looking at another person in a certain way, mm-hmm. they're trying to communicate better. Like, it's not like they're like dead set on getting into an argument. I mean, I think, you know, even that whole comment, like, I hear that you felt, you know, I hear that all the time, that sort of like differentiation on our mm-hmm. model around validation. I think people are trying, they're just trying when they're pretty flooded, you know, when they're dysregulated.
Well, and it's good. I mean, the listener kind of presents why hard examples, like hard circumstances in your relationship, break communication tools down, and why those tools don't work when we are escalated, high in activation, because you got to hear this. High activation creates narrative certainty. I know exactly what happened. Don't even try to tell me it happened differently. And so it's very true. It's narrative reality.
Yeah. And our core sort of idea in this episode is regulation always comes before communication.
Right.
And I think that that's really at the heart of this listener's comment, is that they're trying to go into a discussion, trying to find some sort of agreement when one, or probably within 30 seconds, both people are dysregulated. So what's really important here is for couples to know that regulation always has to precede communication, that you can't use the tools until both of your central nervous systems are in a place where you're not in fight, flight, freeze, fawn.
Yes. Again, the listener's comment, it's why hard examples, hard circumstances break down communication tools. One, high activation creates narrative certainty. For example, I know what happened and don't even try to tell me that that didn't happen. So when we're activated, we're in a nervous system, high activation, narrative certainty is a real thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And this sort of speaks deeper here is attachment panic, right? And it's especially apropos in this example of looking at the waitress, right? Attachment panic, like I'm not safe in this relationship, it's not secure, creates threat perception, right? Does that make sense? Like that if there's something that I perceive that makes me feel that our relationship is not secure, then that's a threat, right? Because our relationship is like our, like, we're going home with this person. We have a life with this person. We have a shared bank account. Maybe we have a child with this person. Mm-hmm. And when our attachment feels threatened, then our life feels threatened.
And as in my case, and I'm sure many others, right, past trauma overrides present reality. A lot of times our partner is going to trigger stuck, unprocessed trauma, which then leads to high activation moments. And if we don't understand what's happening in our body, it's going to completely override whatever that reality is. Yeah. And again, I think if you guys have been listening to our podcast, that's what would happen to me a lot in the early years after we had our blended family. I was overwhelmed with past trauma stuff that I thought I had sorted out, but yeah. I didn't.
Well, and in the case of this listener, with the example that they used of really insecurity around the relationship, you're looking at another person. It can be trauma from their relationship. Maybe there's been infidelity or things before that have happened that have triggered that. Perhaps it's an old relationship. And yeah, maybe it goes all the way back to childhood type stuff, abandonment.
Abandonment's huge.
But, you know, or it could be like, you know, all three of them. And I think like the important thing is we're really what we're talking about here in activation and in this like idea is trauma,
you know,
and this idea, I forget, you can help me out here, I'm sure, Tara, with there's from big T trauma to little T trauma, that there are many things that sort of just scramble us and test our reality, test our safety.
Yeah.
And whenever that happens, whenever our safety is tested, emotional safety, physical safety, safety of relationship, we seek certainty. You looked at that person.
I have to share this because it just came up while we were talking. But like years ago, way before you, I was in this relationship that totally triggered all of the abandonment wounds I did not know I had. And I remember we're like 3 years in and he was good looking and women always looked at him at the bar. And I would like go out and my stomach would feel like sick. I'd be like, please don't let there be any pretty women at the bar. Like I would get so nervous because I thought they would take him from me. I had no idea what it was. I did not know it was abandonment, no clue. But what I would do is like blame him for like looking at other girls all of the time because it was my own insecurity, but I didn't even know. And he would be like dumbfounded because he just wasn't that kind of person. But I just remember those feelings of like fear, jealousy, but under that was like, oh my gosh, he's going to find somebody better. I mean, not until I really learned what my abandonment wounds were could I now see that. So sorry if you ever listen, ex-boyfriend of like 20 years ago, but it's real. It's so real.
Yeah. Okay. So what we've done so far is we've said like one of the reasons that these communication models do break in difficult circumstances is because you haven't soothed your central nervous system. You're not regulated yet. So now we want to get into some like tips, just like we did in the communication series. And we want to start like we did in that series with some do nots.
Do not.
Like
do not.
If one or oftentimes both of you are dysregulated, you're activated, your first do not is?
Do not debate the facts.
Yeah.
Do not debate the facts. It will go nowhere good. And you will just be heels dug in on each side, totally like opposite team.
Because if you're activated, one person is seeking that certainty. And the other person, you know, probably doesn't see it the same way. They didn't have that experience. So in that activated state, you cannot come to a shared reality of something that happened 5 minutes ago, or definitely not 5 months ago or 5 years ago, which often are these trigger ones.
Oh, totally.
All right. Another big do not try to prove your innocence. Right?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. No, I absolutely wasn't looking at him. I just noticed that their shoelaces were untied and I was wondering whether they were going to trip. You know, even whatever, even if it is your reality, trying to prove your innocence is basically negating the other person's activated state. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, no, they're not going to jump on board and accept your innocence at this point.
One more do not. Is do not try to have resolution in the moment because it's not going to happen. And if you're pushing it, it's actually going to get worse because we don't have two regulated nervous systems. And I get it. Like, I am one of those people, like, I need, like, I don't want to feel uncomfortable for too long. I have that anxious attachment. It's only going to reinforce insecure, anxious attachment and more avoidant attachment. So you do not want to try to have a resolution in the moment. But we are going to tell you what to do.
Yes.
We're going there.
Okay, so you've had that moment. One or both of you is highly activated. You realize pushing for resolution, proving innocence, debating facts is not going to work because you've heard this. So what do you do? The first thing you do is you just name the fact that we are activated. Or most probably importantly, that you are. Because your partner may not be ready to accept that. But hopefully, through listening to this podcast, sharing it with your partner, you guys both have a context for it. And you can use a shared vocabulary of like, I'm activated. So am I. I'm dysregulated. So am I.
We're too activated to talk. Let's pause. Right? So that's when you want to try to, if you can, even if you're out for dinner, somehow take a break from each other. That research shows like 20 to 30 minutes can be helpful in the beginning to get that nervous system reset, even just right breathing, getting some fresh air, walking, bilateral stimulation. But you want to take some space before you come back together. And that's right. That's our code word. We love that. We say try to come back within 25 to 30 minutes. Sometimes it's 2 hours, but they're coming back to each other in a way that feels better because now they're more regulated, hopefully. Yeah. Our relationship renovation at home manual for couples is now available on Amazon for $24.99. Check it out. It's going to be so helpful. It's going to be giving you all of the skills and tools we talk about on our podcast. So please go check it out. Your relationship is so worth this.
If you have a shared code word and a shared agreement of you're going to take that break with the code word, please use that. If not, it can look like, hey, honey, I think like right now, like we are too activated to talk about this. Let's take a break and let's come back together. And I love using plural pronouns, the we's, the us's, because it's not so, saying you.
It feels so together and connected.
Yeah, because that's what we're trying to get. We're trying to get back eventually to a place of connection.
And this is where, when you come back, this is where you can slip in those little tools of active listening, validation. So next, we do think it's important to take a short dive into when true distortion or gaslighting is present, and we want to help differentiate insecurity-based distortion versus gaslighting manipulation. That's right. There's a differentiation of these two.
I feel a little bit passionate about this because there are certain terms that have worked into like pop culture that label behaviors that are misused, right? And I mean, years ago, it was bipolar. It was like, you know, anything that was like that felt like, you know, two extremes. It was like, well, this person is bipolar. And it's just like, it's not accurate, right? It's not accurate. And it can be really weaponized. Mm. Or it can just be misunderstood, right? And so I think like what Tara said is like super important is like we got to help you understand that, you know, the difference between manipulative gaslighting and insecurity-based distortion. And in order to do that, the easiest way is just to define the two.
Okay. So, and I can share this because I've had it. Insecurity-based distortion. It's fear-driven. It's reactive, it's emotional based, and it's not intentional. So let me just repeat that again. Insecurity-based distortion is fear-based, reactive, it's emotion-based, and it's not intentional. Yeah. It's what I had just shared my story, like going to the bar with my ex-boyfriend, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so nervous. I'm so afraid that like some other girl's going to take him away. And then I would get highly emotional and like foreshadow, like, please don't let any pretty girls be in the bar because if they are, then like this is going to be awful. It was not intentional. None of that was intentional. I would never intentionally want to feel that awful. So that's like insecurity-based distortion.
And probably told him you're accused him of things at times.
Totally true. Like, I know you are looking at her because how could you not? Because she's so beautiful. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was that girl.
Yeah. So then the opposite, gaslighting, is a persistent denial of reality to destabilize a partner. So again, we just want to differentiate the two, that insecurity-based distortions are coming from a reactive place. Mm-hmm. And gaslighting is an intentional effort to distort the truth in order to manipulate your partner. Mm-hmm. And we get, because we've seen it, why it's really hard to differentiate the two.
Yeah.
Especially in the moment, because when your partner is perhaps saying that you did something, that you really, your honest truth is that it wasn't that, it can feel like your reality is being warped.
Yeah.
But this is where it takes like, it takes some thoughtfulness. And so if, like we're just saying in this circumstance with Tara's ex-boyfriend, right, is if she accused him of something, and then he got to the point where he was activated and super defensive, it would be really hard for him to take in and sort of do the deep thought of like, is she intentionally manipulating or is she just functioning from a place of real deep insecurity, right?
Deep suffering.
So that's why we need that pause for one or both of us to calm down. Now, if true gaslighting is present,
this is important.
Communication models don't work.
They don't work. This is where like boundaries come in and protection and deeper interventions, perhaps.
Yeah, you need help. If true gaslighting, where one person is manipulating reality, is distorting it in order to destabilize their partner. You know, there's some deeper stuff going on. You're definitely going to need a professional. So we just want to, we don't want to belabor this too much, but it is important for you to understand the difference between those two things. So now we're jumping back. So now you and your partner are listening to this. You really identified with this listener, this viewer, and we're like, man, what? We just aren't able to use those models yet. But now you guys have a context, and you're like, you know what to not do. You know the importance of pulling apart in a mindful, thoughtful way in order to stabilize. Now, Tara, what do they do when they come back to the conversation?
When you come back to the conversation, however long, hopefully sooner than later, you want to go in with a shared intention. Like, hey, we want to understand each other. That went sideways. Neither of us wanted that to happen, right? But you're having a shared intention of like, we're trying to understand what just happened, not erase it and never make it happen again. We just want to understand each other.
Yeah. And I think once we set that shared intention, then we want to acknowledge the emotions that were present before acknowledging the content. So in this example from the viewer, it's not going right back into the waitress.
No.
It's if I was the person being told that I was looking at the waitress, it's I felt really defensive. I felt confused. I felt overwhelmed. Maybe if you were that the other person, Tara, what might have you been feeling?
Oh, I was feeling insecure. I was feeling anxious, and I was feeling scared. Yeah, insecure, anxious, and scared.
Yeah, and just that, like the shared intention, the opening up about me feeling defensive, you feeling like insecure, automatically it changes the tone, right? There's no debate there. Oh, no, you didn't feel insecure. I know she felt insecure. Like what's, I'm not going to disagree with that reality.
Yeah. There's also like setting boundaries around your different narratives because both of you had different narratives. In that moment, one was like, you're looking at the waitress. The other might have been, no, I'm not. But you can set gentle boundaries. And this is going to get more into our part two series. Like, how can you validate but not agree if something feels false? But it's like, hey, I care that you felt hurt. I truly care that you felt hurt. But I don't agree with the perception. But let's talk about what came up for you. And then my hope is that I can talk about what came up for me.
Absolutely.
So it's a boundary. It's like, I care. I don't agree with that perception, but I really want to know what came up for you so I can understand better.
Yeah. And that really is, so that's going to be next week. That's going to be the part two is so you've, now you have a way to recognize and understand that you're dysregulated, that you're outside of your window of tolerance. You have some do nots and do's. Mm. And then the next week we're going to come back and we're going to talk about like, how do you validate in a moment where you don't agree with a perception.
Yeah, the assumption is false. Yeah, this is great.
Yeah. And so our closing messages, and we really just want this listener to want to agree with them in a lot of ways. And it's that, you can't skill your way through a moment where you're in survival mode. That regulation is a prerequisite to repair. That's a huge one.
Yeah.
Say that again. Regulation is the prerequisite to repair.
Yes, communication skills only work when we feel safe. And if you are, if like you and your partner, if you are just stuck in activation together, go seek some professional support. Like the therapist, especially trained in couples, really good at creating emotional safety in that room. And if you don't know how emotional safety feels like because you've never been able to have that because of these patterns, negative patterns of activation with you and your partner, it can be so helpful and so profound because, I mean, our goal is like help people suffer less, but there's skills to help people suffer less. It's not just this light switch. And we know that therapy, coaching can be really helpful for that.
Absolutely. And we want to just like go out of our way to really thank this viewer, the listeners like them, because you all inspire us and make us go a little deeper. So valuable. We appreciate all of your comments. Please continue them. Continue your emails, podcasts at relationshiprenovation.com. Jump into our Patreon community. It is getting more and more robust, more and more members, thoughtful conversations, daily tips. Mm-hmm. Just click on the link in the show notes to join our Patreon community.
And I would just like to say for preventative measures, if you're listening right now, it's probably because you're disconnected in your relationship. You're wanting to learn more skills. And if there's hope, that's great. But like our Relationship Renovation at Home manual on Amazon for like $25, like you can, if you're not in crisis, if you're not disconnected, but you're even in a newer relationship or you know someone that's in a newer relationship, it builds so many awesome skills, empathy, compassion, so that you don't have to wait for a crisis. Like our goal is to like really do more preventative work so that couples don't wait 7, 8, 9 years of being in this dysregulated state. It sucks. We don't want that for you. So get in there earlier. Convince your friends and family to do it earlier than later instead of just not getting into relationships. Well, anyway, thank you for listening. As always, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Me and you just singing on the train. Me and you listening to the rain. Me and you, we are the same. Me and you have all the fame we need. Indeed, you and me, are we?